This is exactly right.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Allman-Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim, give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
With Karen and Chris. Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
The entire way. You know I do a lot of research whenever we have a guest. I read the sheet, mm-hmm. and I was reminded of today's guest's comic book called Minor Threats, which made me listen to Minor Threat the whole way.
Nice.
Which is high octane, high energy punk rock.
Punk rock.
Which, you know, I'm into now.
Is that your new thing, punk rock?
It has to sort of be, because I've been practicing. I had another Curb Dogs show.
Oh, your band.
And we, yes, I say that so hesitantly, but I do karaoke with a live band of songs none of you have ever heard of.
A dream.
Except for the Dinosaur Jr. one, probably. And I need to listen to it to get into that mode. It helped. And then we rehearsed more than once this last time, and that helped a lot.
Yeah.
And the audience was all 50-something skateboarders, which really, really helped.
Man, I have to go to those shows.
We have yet to do one that isn't somewhere in Montana or Washington at a skate park opening. but this was in a town called Big Sandy, which is, can't even be 1,000 people. Big Sandy, Montana, it's where one of the Montana senators is from, and where Jeff Ament from Pearl Jam is from.
Nice.
And so once we hit this little town driving around, I just was thinking of Jeff as a little kid thinking, oh, I want to be a rock star one day in this town that is 8 blocks wide
mm-hmm.
and high. And then all of a sudden there he was on a bike.
Oh, you saw him?
Yeah, he was just adult Jeff Ament riding a bike around. Reminiscing about when he was a child riding a bike around.
So he moved back to his hometown, or maybe never moved out?
He goes back. He lives a few places, I think. Because
mm-hmm.
Pearl Jam, I think, makes good money for him.
I bet they do.
And no, he's got like a skate team with little kids in the area that skate for his team. It's
Aww.
Quite wholesome and fun. And then we played a loud show in a bar. So I've been listening to punk rock.
Nice.
And that is my story that I've started on this episode of Do You Need a Ride?
Great story.
Thank you.
I think at the end it kind of went down.
It did.
Well, energy-wise, I think right. It was still very compelling.
Well, there's a lot of pressure with stories at the end because we're comics to have a big closing statement.
What would you be doing, sir? Like, what? He wasn't turning the wheel at all. He was just coming into my life.
There was no reason for him to turn that wide. That car was 20 feet away. He just wanted to kiss Arlene to feel like it, what it felt like.
It looked like he was looking at this huge median blocker, like he was thinking about driving over it to go left. Like he wanted to go left so bad, he was just going to drive through some bushes to do it.
I like to give people the benefit of a doubt, or the doubt, or any doubt.
A doubt,
perhaps
some.
He was having a medical emergency. His mouth was foaming, he was biting on a belt. And that makes you take a wide turn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wish him well, is what I'm saying.
I don't.
You don't? Oh.
I was more like, I'll kill you. L.A. style?
Yeah.
Road rage style?
Where you just do it with your eyes?
Yeah, and just kind of like, any chance to kind of get bad feeling going about your fellow man in another car who might be making a mistake, just jump on that chance because it just makes your life awful.
Yeah. That was one thing I got used to in Los Angeles. That kind of aggression doesn't usually go anywhere. People get very, they'll honk their horn, they'll flip you off, which in Montana means both cars are going to pull over and you're going to square off on the dirt shoulder, the soft shoulder. And people get real hard in the soft shoulder when it comes to, I have terrible memories.
That's kind of funny because Los Angeles, being how it is, you're right. It's all fake threats from people who have no intention of ever getting out of their car to fight you or really to do anything
except for get home. I'm starting to not even believe a lot of the like NWA lyrics and rap groups I grew up listening to.
You think they were lying?
I think Ice Cube was always, "Are we there yet, Ice Cube?" I don't think caps were busted ever. And I hope you're listening, Cube.
Oh, my God. Cube, if you're listening, I love you.
Yeah. I mean, I wanted your approval when we were both on the same Conan episode, but I ended up just talking to Wayne Gretzky.
The idea that you would, I mean, it's very natural to want approval from Ice Cube.
Yes,
but to expect it, I did not expect it. That's bad.
I went into it with low expectations. And once he walked down the hall and I saw his eyebrows that are just like a caricature drawing of Ice Cube, they are not welcoming. They are furrowed.
Right.
And they come up in the middle at the top of his nose and curl up. And it seems like...
And he also has those flared nostrils, consistently flared nostrils. He does absolutely look like he's waiting for a fight at any point.
Right.
And of course... being the person I am, I really love that. I relate to it. I love a resting bitch face.
Yep.
I love the energy of shut the fuck up.
Yep.
It's my favorite.
Yeah. It'll stop me from going, "Hi, I'm a big fan," because he doesn't need to hear that.
But did anyone tell you, did he watch your set? Like when it was all...
I doubt it. He probably was in and out. I didn't watch his set.
Wait. Yeah, I mean, that's understandable. Because you can't, like, 5 minutes before... you do stand-up comedy on TV, you can't hear or see anything.
And I remember you called me before that set and said, very reassured, "You got this, you belong there, you know what you're doing."
I did?
Yes.
Aww.
And we were just getting to know each other at the time.
Right.
So thank you for that.
You're welcome. I meant it.
I'm afraid it didn't work. I was nervous as hell, but I appreciate.
But the nervousness is good because it's the engine. You had it. That set is legendary. The sweater was legendary.
Oh, thanks.
It's so funny.
I was doubting that sweater, and right before I went through the curtains, I looked at just the guy that works on the crew. That was his job in that moment to open the curtain, and he had a headset. And I'm like, "I'm going to take this sweater off." He's like, "You keep that sweater on." He very much approved of the sweater, and it gave me that final boost of confidence I needed.
The unsung crew members on shows, daily shows, where people, it's so hard on talk shows. It's hard work. People are under pressure constantly. It's very hard to make a show every day. And there are crew members like that. They understand that especially stand-up comics, like a crew member on Conan would understand. This is like
right.
a chance is being given. There's a lot of pressure, but they know that ultimately it's like, you're here to do what you do. You got picked because you're good. But the idea that they're then conveying that to you, like, you've got this.
Yeah.
I just love that. I had the same experience with those, with the crew on Conan, where they're just like, they're watching you do it and they allow you to kind of like entertain them. They're not like jaded or looking down or anything. They're in it with you. It's beautiful.
Yeah, they were, and they know what they're doing. The first thing I did was Kimmel, and that was a new show. It was live with like a radio delay button. And there was you had to walk out on a catwalk that wasn't even near the audience. They could choose to wrench their neck 90 degrees to look at you or just not look at you, which most of them did. Mm. And at the last minute, Super Dave Osborne went too long with something. And the guy, instead of saying, hey, that's a nice sweater, said, hey, can you do a couple minutes less or come back tomorrow? I don't even think it was his call. And I said, I can't. I have to leave town tomorrow. And he's like, okay, just do less time. And so I did different jokes, and the prompter person was freaking out and pointing at the cards as if I had lost my mind, and they bleeped me like a whole sentence. I thought it went well. I went to a bar to watch it, and it was just like beep,
because like you were like, talking about something you can't talk about.
I don't fully remember, but I didn't swear, and they beeped it like I said shit, fuck, ass, poop.
Well, I wonder if you were talking about like an area that they're not allowed to.
I think I said Jesus.
Oh.
As an expletive.
But also, that's so ridiculous that the stage manager would be the one saying, can you do extra time?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, it was his call, and I don't think it is his call.
Well, but it wouldn't. Unless him doing that independently would not be happening. It's the director talking through him.
Oh, perhaps. Okay. Yeah. Well, then I feel better.
But
I'm about to make a noise.
Oh.
That was a bodily function. A lot of people think I'm opening a soda.
But that was one of Chris's specialty farts.
Yeah. I have some signatures, and that was one of my specialty signatures.
It's called the barbecue.
Who wants to play frisbee or cornhole?
Welcome to the barbecue.
Speaking of cornhole.
Okay, wait. What's the address?
I looked at it on Google Maps, and so I will know what it looks like.
You did? Okay.
I think it might be here on the right. And it is.
Okay, great.
This is it.
Great.
See, I do my research. I look at a picture of the home.
Creepy.
Excuse me. That was a quick pickup.
Yes, it was.
My fear is that I've said everything I've said in the past. Because I have...
To Patton?
To our audience. Whoops. But it's been decades. And by that, I mean 5-6 years. Since I retold that last story.
Oh, yeah. I don't even remember that last story.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
That means you know me. I'll immediately start criticizing you if you're doing something incorrect.
And I'm constantly in a state of fear because of it. And I thank you.
It's great for podcasting.
It is. What would a mobile podcast be without fear?
Without fear and pressure. Yeah.
You.
Yeah.
He does clubs and colleges across the country. Everyone.
Clubs and colleges.
Right.
Heard him on Alex Bennett.
He got up at 5:30 to go on Alex Bennett.
Or just stayed awake all night, like everyone else on the show.
Depending.
Oh boy. Hi, guys.
Hi, Pat.
Are you still coming from Toluca Lake, or have you moved, Karen?
I'm also now where I am in the same city you live in.
What?
Yes.
Oh, we're like 2 minutes from each other.
Yes.
Everyone lives here. Seth Green and his wife live down here. Flanagan lives here.
Mm-hmm.
I like Seth Green.
Seth Green, yeah. Zoe Lister-Jones is down the street. I see her out on my walks, on my perambulations that you do when you're 54.
And you got to move that... Body.
There are a lot of flat streets here. Nice flat ones.
Nice.
Okay, then I'll do that. It's my ankles. I can't.
can't do those hills.
I can go uphill fights. The downhill. Oh my God.
Yeah, we're all warned about going downhill.
yeah.
It's bad
yeah,
for the
be
knees.
Be careful. And where are you living now, Chris?
I am, thank you for asking. I was in Venice Beach for like 17 years, and I now live in Echo Park, where they shot the movie Training Day. Right on those streets.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, right where Denzel's yelling at Ethan Hawke while they're in front of my garages.
So you went from both ends of the bohemian spectrum,
yes.
Venice and then Echo Park.
Yes,
very
I really
nice.
Did.
Yeah.
And I find
both
it
covered.
To be friendlier and more of a community. I love where I live.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's terrific.
It's real nice.
The only thing I need to do, if we could stop by Flair Cleaners on Laurel Canyon,
I'll
be down there to our right. Otherwise, let's just drive around.
Hell yeah.
Maybe go further up north, Laurel Canyon, to where it gets weird.
Should we go?
Where do you want to go?
I mean, we could go there. We could also go down Mulholland. We could do a little classic LA drive, come around.
You're so right. Let's do Mulholland.
Should we do that?
God damn it. Yes, that's way better. You know what? Fuck it. Make a left. I can get Flair Cleaners tomorrow. I got all day open. I'm
we
not
can
going
do
to...
both. We can do both.
Yeah, we can do it.
Let's do Mulholland and we loop back around. We'll grab it.
Okay.
Let's talk about David Lynch movies and then we'll go get your suits pressed. What did you get done at the dry cleaners?
A bunch of shirts and a couple of them. I had some labels removed because they have the Gap puts like 15 unnecessary labels down on the right seam.
Yep.
And they're just flapping around and smacking into you when you're walking around. Like, what is all
that
this?
Was Karen's call, actually. She used to work at the Gap.
Oh, yeah. For real?
More said, labels, she used to scream.
Please explain to people how to iron this over and over in every language that you can come up with.
And then let's also have a pocket with spare buttons in it for no reason.
Yep.
Because as you know, 20-somethings love to darn and sew. That's what they always do.
I've never, ever used those spare buttons.
No. No. Why are you giving... If I lose a button, it's lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or also, you can just open your junk drawer and find a kind of pearlescent button to replace it.
Exactly.
They're not rare. Although, thank you to the Gap for even being that considerate, because... You would think that they would be like, get your own buttons.
Right, yeah.
But they're not.
Yeah, and they also wanted to give Gen X the illusion that we were somehow self-reliant. We've also added a little sewing kit. Great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'll be getting rid of this as well.
Just take the needle out of the tiny tomato pin cushion and do what all your grandma's taught you.
Well, I have a thumb ring with a little mushroom cap on it that I needle pointed, and that's where I keep all my supplies.
I would like to know on a calendar when the last time a thimble was used.
Oh, that's a good question.
I mean, down at Milton Eadies, you know, where they do alterations 24 hours. That's one of my favorite things I used to live by. And listener,
yes,
Milton Eadies is a very famous kind of Hollywood in Burbank.
Yeah.
Tailor, where you can go there 24 hours a day and get your shit fixed.
Oh,
although it'll cost you $80 minimum, no matter what it
yes.
is.
Yes, but I bet they get a lot of meth heads that at 2 a.m. decide to go through their closets.
Yeah.
I'm going to reorganize, going to alter some things.
Yeah.
And they take them on. I used to go to Milton Eadies all the time.
Yeah.
To the point where I had to stop eating that goddamn popcorn that they leave out. Because I would eat it, and then I would just have greasy fingers and then get my clothes all messed up again like an idiot.
I remember, I remember Danny Ceballos for...
Yeah, do I remember Danny Ceballos?
A true legend.
I remember the name, and I don't even know Danny Ceballos.
He was...
He was
the greatest non-stand-up comic hangout person in our group of friends.
Yeah, he was one of the... There's that weird subgroup of the non-comics that are just as funny as the comics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was that guy. Mm-hmm. And him, when he and his wife Sarah got married, I was a bridesmaid. And she asked me to be a bridesmaid, which is really nice. And, of course, 6 months prior, when she asked me, we all went to try on bridesmaids' dresses. And I was so embarrassed because, it was like... Not just strapless and sleeveless, but it only just hooked around your neck. Like,
what?
It was high pressure
no.
kind of bridesmaid challenge. And so I left.
They were challenge dresses.
They basically. Were challenge dresses of what do you actually want to look like when you show up for this thing? Uh-huh. So I immediately went on the most intense starvation diet.
Oh, God.
To the point where when I walked in for the wedding, all the people that knew me went, oh.
Like, oh, God.
Wow.
You okay? Karen, sit down.
Karen, drink this juice.
Let me check your teeth enamel.
Get her a saline and potassium IV right now.
Stat.
But I had to take that dress.
Oh,
so I was
no.
doing it thinking, oh, hopefully I can just, like, my arms will be slightly smaller or whatever. Mm-hmm. I had to take that dress into Milton Edie's and get it. This woman's, like, folding the things over going, oh, my God, why did you buy the dress so big? And I'm like, I can't explain this right now. I can't talk to you about this.
Wow.
Oh,
look
Milton
at this.
Edie.
Ankle rolling vista.
Get up there. Climb up there, you little goats.
Yeah.
I remember... Karen and I were in Seattle for some reason.
I was opening for you?
Opening, or was it Bumber Shoot?
Bumber Shoot, I knew you'd say it.
One of the, great word to say in Jerry Lewis.
Bumber.
Bumber Shoot. But Danny would do this character called the Contessa. And it was this old, like, wealthy dowager. And are you people dumb? Like,
yes.
And we were in some... vintage clothing store, and we saw a hat, and we both went, the Contessa!
Yes.
And we bought it, and we brought it back for him. I just remember, like, that's how funny that guy was.
Oh, that's nice.
Because normally the hat that he would make would be, a napkin he would pick up when we were at a party at Laura Milligan's house, yeah. And he would just pick a napkin up, wrap it around his head, because that's how you knew how drunk he was.
Oh, yeah.
That he would turn into the Contessa and start yelling at people.
Exactly.
It was
Why
best.
Isn't everyone paying attention to me?
And remember when, I think you actually put in a video... Because it was like the compilation of bloopers from CNN or whatever. So we all sat down to watch TV in the middle of this party, and he walked in, stood in front of the TV with this weird raincoat around his head and went, are you people dumb?
Yes, that's right.
He was so mad we were watching TV.
Oh, God. Yeah, he, when he would get drunk, he went all the way. I remember seeing John Matta, like, carrying him out of the... oh my God, what was the place? The Cat and the Fiddle?
Oh yeah.
Like literally like he had picked up a mannequin and was like at Squaresville, like we're changing the mannequins, and he would like pick Danny. Danny was so slim and light.
Yeah.
You could just pick him up, and well, we gotta take him somewhere. He can't walk. He's so hammered. Oh my God, Danny. What's Danny doing now? So is he still married?
He's still married.
Yay.
And his wife is a musicologist. She got a job as a professor. I think it's called Lawrence College in Appleton, Wisconsin. So they live way fucking north in Wisconsin. And they've lived there for like, it's been 15 years probably.
Oh my God.
And they love it, yeah.
So he just does sets at Skyline.
Yeah. Wow. Or he goes to the local supermarket, not the chain one, but the mom and pop, and just... And every now and then he'll kind of half go into the Contessa.
Yes.
And, like, glare at the zucchinis. Like, oh, just underpicked too soon.
How dare you.
Yeah, oh my God.
I miss that. I miss people doing characters.
Yeah, we would, there was always, people would go into just whatever at a party, and it didn't have to necessarily go anywhere.
Mm-mm.
But yeah.
I miss that too, like during stand-up, not as a TikTok persona.
Like, and again, you know what? And it was truly for ourselves, because we weren't TikToking or posting shit. You
right.
couldn't.
Right.
It was just we're amusing ourselves right now.
Yes.
And this is all going into the ether.
Yeah, it was the big, because everything was a big riff contest. So it was what can you bring?
Mm-hmm.
If you're just going to do regular hard jokes, well, then stand over there because I'm about to unveil my new character.
You're right. There was a time, as weird as I and not well received occasionally as I can be in a mainstream setting, I felt sometimes like I was some road hack because I was wanting to do my bits.
Oh.
And everyone else was like, well, I bought a box of crackers, so I'm going to be the Ritz tycoon because I just picked these up. And I felt, and I'm just talking about way later for me, just UCB and MBAR.
Yeah.
Like, I memorized all these things.
I know.
And then the next week I could just be chewing it at the Comedy Store. I like that there's that.
Right.
Yeah. I remember there was there used to be a message board called The Special Thing, and it was kind of very M Bar Largo centric.
Yes.
All the M Bar Largo fans, like the alt comedy fan base, was on this message board, and a lot of us would go on there and just, you know, answer fans and talk about stuff.
Oh my gosh.
But I would remember them, they would review M Bar shows every week. Like, you would do the M Bar and you'd come home and go on that message board, and like an hour later, someone had written up the entire show.
Yes.
And I remember one night, and this is no slam on anyone in this, but it was a night where everyone went up and just absolutely killed. Boom, boom, boom. And David Cross went up and he was trying I'm trying a bunch of new stuff, because he was working on a new special. And a lot of the new stuff just didn't work. Mm-hmm. It just didn't land. He didn't have a great set. Still David Cross, still funny, but it just didn't work. And so this guy wrote this review and he's like, everyone else went up all prepared and rehearsed, and it was disgusting. The only real comedian that night was David Cross. It was like,
wow.
He didn't, but it was like that ethos had leaked into the board.
Yeah.
Like, anyone can go up and just get laughs. Actually, no, you can't. That's the whole point of comedy. That's the hard thing to do. So
it's quite rehearsed.
Was the review written by, like, David X?
I don't think he ever went on those boards. No, there were some, like, very specific personalities that came out of that board that I feel a lot of them probably went alt-right as the years rolled on. As they became more disaffected, they suddenly just started posting on, once that board closed, they're like, well, I guess it's Stormfront for me.
Yeah, well, how much is it to fly to Washington, D.C.?
I
used to search for my name on there. I've totally forgot about that until you brought it up. And that person kind of said something nice, and I'd think about it. It actually affected
you. Could always see the early, there were always rough drafts of the internet out there. They just weren't there yet. Like, I remember when I was living in San Francisco, I don't know if you ever did this, Karen, but there was a thing in the cafes for a while called the Coffee Net.
No.
And they were these little stations, little keyboards with a screen, and you fed a quarter into a slot, and then you could chat. It was just a chat room, and there were other monitors and keyboards in other coffee shops. That's all it was. So there was never more than 12 people in the chat room. But Blaine and I and Mark Maron would put a stack of, like, we were immediately addicted to this. And you would think that I would observe, like, wait a minute, I'm in a coffee shop with my friends, and I'd rather feed quarters and just type non sequiturs at these random people. There's clearly money in this.
Yeah.
And I just didn't even bother.
Like, yeah. You could have been the...
This'll never catch on. Yeah. Hang on. I need this $5. Can I get this in quarters, this $5 bill? Thank you.
The part of it that they figured out a way to make you pay for it like that is hilarious. Like,
oh, yeah.
A quarter...
It was like playing a video. A quarter got you 10 minutes. and we would sit there and just... And I was... we had different names. I forgot but we would go on and just, like, start talking. And then you'd get into arguments, and the arguments were... But apparently back in the 70s and 80s, weren't there party lines?
On the phone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you could call up and just talk to people.
Yep, that turned into the sex lines.
Yep.
Like, in
Pick
later
up 80s. The phone. Thousands of women are waiting to talk to me?
Wow.
Wow. Me specifically?
Remember that there's a scene in... I think it's Shortcuts. Jennifer Jason Leigh is a phone sex operator where people just call up and she's saying the most filthy stuff. And her either boyfriend or husband, played by Chris Penn, is clearly like she's making a lot of money for them.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, why don't you never talk that way to me? And she goes, because it's disgusting. Like, she's not personally attached to it, but it's like, that's probably who you're talking to when you're on the sex lines.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a friend who did that.
Really?
Yeah, because it was really good money. So all of a sudden, it's like, yeah, you don't have to go be a waitress for 8 hours. You can just do this for two. And as long as you're willing to just be kind of gross and some guys being gross back to you, you make bank. My friend was just like, yeah, who gives a shit? I'd way rather get this big payout, and it's like worth her time.
Yeah, well, that's like the I don't know if those still exist, cam girls, web girls?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wasn't that a whole thing?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's now it's like the OnlyFans accounts, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's... Oh my
don't
God.
Pretend
okay.
You don't know that.
You want to hear my embarrassment? This is fucking oh, this is mortifying.
Oh, no.
Right when OnlyFans started, when I had heard the term OnlyFans, but I didn't know yet that it was for porn. I just thought OnlyFans. Artists have a page and people pay to see your new work. And I was talking with Amy Mann and she was like, yeah, I'm trying to put this new album out, but you know, you gotta, the labels are all collapsing and you know, I don't know how to get the word out. And then I just said, well, you should start an OnlyFans page. Like in my mind thinking, cause that's where you'd put it. And she's like, what? I go, where you put your music on? She goes, do you know what OnlyFans
no,
is?
But people...
I was like, what? And then kid to explain. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. That's not what I was saying.
No, people do that, though. You're not off.
Now they do.
Yeah, I have seen that in recent days.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Yeah, there's someone who has an OnlyFans page. Wait a minute. They just announced it, and they're not like a porn person. Who...
No, there's people that are doing comedy specials on OnlyFans.
Right.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I've seen.
Yeah, it's like a new... I think Whitney Cummings produced a roast, but I can't remember the person who
she
the roast
naked
was about.
In it.
Is that true?
No.
No. Like, what? Yeah, I think they're trying to basically, like, sidestep all the middlemen and all the people that take all their percentages.
Exactly. Just, yeah. I'll put it up and pay whatever... Or not even pay what you want. They're, like... Dana Gould has a Patreon, but it's like, I'm not doing levels, I'm not doing tiers. It's $5 a month and you get everything.
Yeah.
Like, and when you do it that way, actually more people sign up.
I'm...
Because they're like, oh, this is so easy.
Yeah. I'm 100% sold on it and I might do it.
Yeah.
I want, and then just have a sultry image that suggests I'm doing anything more interesting.
Hi, everybody. Well, then there's also writers that have Substacks and you pay for that every month, and they're like, I don't need to worry about getting it published. If you want to read my stuff, here it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the self-publishing stuff that's going on.
Also, Cameo, where you can, if people want you to say happy birthday or whatever.
Yeah. Although, from what I heard, Cameo can end up taking over your life. Like, it is what...
It's so much work.
It becomes your... Well, it's not that it's so much work. If you have any kind of cachet, you will get, you know, 100 requests a day, and you're like, well, I'm here... You know, it becomes an 8-hour workday.
During
but the guy who played like one of the minor characters on Office Space, and not Office Space, The Office, The American Office, who's the tall, bald guy, kind of talks like this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He made $1 million a year on Cameo.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and people basically just ask him to say the same phrase over and over, and he just sits in his house and does it.
Hell yes. I mean, get that bag however you can.
Yeah, get it.
Yeah, I was in Portland and there's this skateboarding Jesus guy. He rides a longboard.
Hang on, just one?
There should be competing skateboarding Jesus. That's all he talked about was the other skateboarding Jesuses. We did a little interview and he's very sweet and he took me to his office and he had a whole setup. One was for Cameo and then all these other apps. He did them for churches. He did, and he wasn't like a Christian guy, but he did it very much for a living.
Wow.
For churches, like, hey guys, it's Jesus here. I highly recommend St. Andrews.
Yes.
Great, great Eucharist, always fresh.
Just got some fresh trucks on the board.
He did it. He endorsed many Texas high school football teams.
Oh, really?
He did.
Wow.
Yes. And it made me, whoever was requesting those obviously had a sense of humor because... He wasn't that serious.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, he must be doing it for the cool churches.
Wait, you're saying skateboarding Jesus is not evangelical?
No, no. It was, I mean, he put a little, like, kind of a bed skirt around his skateboard so it looked like he was floating.
Is that true?
Yes.
Oh, God, I love that.
And the skateboard was shaped like a crucifix.
Yes.
Of course it
so
was.
So you could take someone out at the ankles.
It's a little.
It was kind of.
That might be a step too far.
Yeah, I know. Even I was offended. I didn't throw a log on the fire at church camp. I was offended. But he made such a living and told me, here's what you need to do. And that's when I signed up for Cameo. And yes, during quarantine, even just for me, it was a daily thing. And sometimes they were, oh, you have 24 hours to do this. And it's our sweet fans.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So it was...
Wow.
But yeah, it kind of dried up because you have to advertise it.
I've been pitched a couple of cruises. I've never been on a cruise and I'll never do one. But
to
I have
do stand-up?
Been, to do, oh yeah, stand-up and music cruises now are a very big thing.
It's good money, right?
Yeah, and especially, here's what's amazing. So many of our alt-rock 90s heroes are either doing the soundtracks for children's shows.
Oh, yeah.
Kay Hanley from Letters to Cleo does Doc McStuffins. And I'm not kidding. She does Doc McStuffins.
That's awesome.
And They Might Be Giants does Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, they always did cool kids songs.
Yeah. But now there are these cruises. I know that...
like 311?
Yeah, cruise, like they will do. And it's no different than like when there's a package tour now of all your... like. There was that thing that was just touring with, like, The Cure and...
Yep.
Just Like Heaven Fest.
Yes. Yeah. Where it's... they just... we're going to... it's package nostalgia.
Yeah.
And the artists that are on it apparently make bank. They're like, why not? Why wouldn't I do this?
Right.
But but there's something about a cruise. Because isn't there a specific kind of person that likes to go on a cruise? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's really good. The marketing concept is amazing because they're probably pulling in all these people who would never go on a cruise.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They're tapping in new markets, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. That makes sense. I just can't imagine Juliana Hatfield's fans, you know, wanting, like, salivating for the all-night buffet.
Yeah.
And going, God, I hope she does Hey Babe today.
Yeah. Wandering in, she's like, because I'm ugly. Yeah. Why is she so upset? She's not ugly.
She's not ugly. And plus, look at the ambrosia for breakfast.
Aunt Marie, keep your voice down. She's singing a ballad.
Ambrosia. Ambrosia's like that lime green jello marshmallow.
Oh, it's every, like Cool Whip. It's just... we have a bunch of cold things in the fridge. Let's just mash them together.
Mandarin oranges.
Grapes, why not?
Oh, God, the mandarin oranges in that basically sugar water.
Yes.
Just soaking in sugar water.
It's the stuff that if it gets left out at a barbecue on a picnic table, don't eat that.
Yeah, well, or if it gets left out, it ferments. And the kids can catch a tiny buzz, maybe their first. Like, oh, that was mommy. That the oranges were fizzy. Yeah. Oh, give me those.
We're just saving money on your penicillin. Yeah, that. Oh, I don't know if I'd want to do my subtle word make 'em ups in front of a Ozfest. Just a.
I remember when I was eight.
So scary.
I was visiting my grandparents in Arizona, and we all went out to dinner one night with our aunt Debbie. And Aunt Debbie ordered a vodka tonic, and I ordered a 7-Up. And it was the late 70s, and all the glasses were just the same. There was no... And they put her vodka tonic in front of me and my 7-Up in front of her. And I wasn't really, like 7 or 8. And I just straws in, and I drank, like, half of it without even thinking at it. Meanwhile, my Aunt Debbie is sipping her as she goes, man, they really make great vodka tonics. This is... fantastic.
It's just straight 7-Up.
But it took her a second. Like, she got maybe a fourth way through it, and then she looked at me and was like, no, and, like, grabbed it. But I remember distinctly getting a weird little buzz.
Yeah.
Because I just drank half.
How old were you?
Sure.
Like 7 or 8.
Oh, wow. That's great. When you're shirtless dancing on the piano. That's so great. Oh, I love it.
Stage diving into the ball pit.
I actually... Oh, there's a
Patton, put your shirt back on. What are you doing?
Oh my God.
It's an Italian restaurant.
Just swimming in a marinara tub.
Get out of there.
Oh, my Lord. So to the listeners that can't that have no visuals now, we are heading east on Ventura Boulevard. And Ventura, Studio City, is where all of the hipsters who aged out of Los Feliz have moved because... We're about to enter an area of Ventura Boulevard where the restaurants and coffee shops are actually kind of good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
And there was a weird migration of services over here. Oh, my God. Yeah, there's Mark's Garden.
Mark's Garden.
Beautifully decorated. But there's a bunch of restaurants along here that are great, like shockingly great.
Yeah, and every time I drive down this street, I'm like, I'm going to hang out over here.
Yeah,
and
wait a minute.
And I never do. No, I'll live over here.
Because
it's the valley. Yeah.
Also, if you have Echo Park.
You're not driving over here.
But there's Petit Trois. That's the guys who do Animal. That's their little French place.
Oh.
Amazing. There is a little pub there, the 1-Up. That has got video games and
I like
really
it.
Good Ooh. Pub food. The Woodman is really tasty. Coming up on our left in a second will be a place. Oh my God, please put your headphones on now. But there's a place coming up called Wood and Water that is so goddamn good.
What do they serve?
Just amazing food, just amazing dinner. And then they do like Sunday brunch, but all of their food is fantastic, and it's on Ventura in the goddamn valley, and you do not expect it to be that good, and it is. It's right past Menchie, see?
Oh, Menchie, there's Menchie's.
And there's a home state over here.
And there's
I
a home
state.
That. Yes, there's a home state.
Ooh.
In which, if you are from Austin and you move to Los Angeles and you miss hot bowls of cheese, which I used to eat so much of it, I had a slight limp. Martha Kelly and I would eat. She would just call me up. She would just call me up and go, "Hi, Fairbanks. Ugh, do you want to get a big bowl of cheese?" Like, yeah, we might as
well.
Want
to do it?
And you're like, but I have gout. It's like, it doesn't matter.
My foot is numb. I'm like Olivia Colman in The Favorite right now. I can't even get out of bed.
Get me my bunnies.
We also just passed on our left back there, Casa Vega, which is the site of many a 1970s drunken debauchery. I think Casa Vega features in Licorice Pizza.
That
go drinking
the one
there.
On the tip of my tongue. And then other than that, just like the movie Barfly or something?
Well, that's all downtown. Although I also think Casa Vega is in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Oh. I think they go drinking there.
I also went to dinner there once in the 90s before I stopped drinking, and I forgot that I had even been there. So then the next time people are like, "Should we go to Casa Vega?" I'm like, "Yeah, I've never been there." And whoever was with me is like, "We were there last month. Like, what is wrong with you?" Or I'm like, "Nothing. Nothing is wrong with me until I decide there's something super wrong with me."
Can't a girl decide when she bottoms out?
I'll black out as many times as I need to.
You do not blackout explain to me.
This is sexist.
This is very sexist. And then, of course, you have the classic Valley. Five Guys, Western Bagel, Starbucks, like boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
You've also, then you got, but then there's an Alfred Coffee.
Alfred.
Oh, it's all boarded
and there's
up.
There's a Jones on 3rd over off of Laurel Canyon now.
That place is the greatest.
Oh, my God. If you want to go see pissed off people about to go audition at CBS Radford, that is exactly where you go.
And the people who aren't going to choose them for their project, they're also there.
All sitting together. Putting their punch cards in. Well, gotta go fire you now.
Also,
gotta go pass on you.
Sportsman's Lodge, that hotel.
Boy.
They have like a poolside. You can just go there. You don't need to even be in a room.
Yeah.
I don't think that the hotel's there anymore, though. It's now.
It didn't look like it was in great shape.
It's well.
Oh no, they refurbished the whole thing.
But is the actual hotel there, or didn't they turn it into like an Equinox strip mall?
Yes.
Yeah.
They did, but the poolside thing is still there.
Oh, it is.
One of my favorite names, Muffin Can Stop Us. All right.
That's not real.
We just passed Muffin Can Stop Us.
Are you serious?
I'm not kidding. It's right next to Elements Pharmacy. Where can I pay $300 for my COVID vaccine? Why, you want to go to Elements Pharmacy where the stars go.
I want Muffins Can Stop. I want that to be a tailor.
I don't want to go get it for free at CVS like I'm some kind of pro. Well, then you want to head down to Elements Pharmacy.
I'm trying to think of wordplay on "we built the city so hard" right now that my brain is bleeding. God
well,
damn it.
I mean, you know, there was always there was some road comic, I'm sure, that went, "We built this titty."
Yes.
"We built this titty on silicone." Yeah, you know somebody did that.
Oh, wow. I think it was.
There's no way they did.
I think it was Mark Cohen. Didn't he?
Coco.
He did a parody of like, "Here's a bat."
Oh, he would make fun of those guys.
Yeah.
And it's the funniest thing in the world to me.
Yeah, he would do it to make fun of it, but it would always kill.
Also, he would do it in the middle of a party. Everyone had just smoked pot. And then he would pick up a guitar and be making eye contact with you like the craziest person on the planet. And he's like, "We built this titty." Where you're like, "I can't do this right now."
To avoid constipation, she always ate the raisinets. Like, Coco, please, I'm
please.
So goddamn high right now.
Oh.
Blaine brought some lighter weed, and I cannot. Please, just
please.
Stop. I'm going to die.
He's truly the funniest.
I have three other versions in my head, but they're offensive now I can't repeat
right.
them.
Right.
He always made me laugh, Mark.
The funniest.
Yeah, oh, God.
I think he's now got a regular Vegas.
Yes,
gig.
He has a residency somewhere.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and look. Oh, there's the Licorice Pizza pop-up store on our right.
Nice.
Art's Delicatessen. Oh, I got to go back to breakfast there. I love that place.
Do you regularly do stand-up in Vegas, Patton?
Not as... Oh, by the way, Annabelle's Book Club on our right. Amazing tween young adult bookstore.
Oh.
Amazing.
Nice.
I don't do as much stand-up as I would like in Vegas. I like to go in there and do, like, one show. I just don't like a lot of the clubs. They would like you to come in Monday through
right,
Sunday,
of course.
And,
oh, yeah.
And that drives me insane.
No, I would assume you're doing one show and then getting out. Since I'm guessing you're not a gambler like me.
I love Vegas, but not after 2 days.
Right.
Then I got to get out.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I'm Karen and Blast from Our Past. Coming up on the right is Wasteland.
Wasteland. Get me an outfit now.
And my daughter is now obsessed with Wasteland. Loves it.
So exciting.
I got her a gift certificate for Easter. She's so excited.
I feel like I went there when I first... Has that been there a long time?
A while. Not that long. But yeah,
like 10 years maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah,
the Wasteland on Hate. Oh.
Because Wasteland is like a bit of a step up. Crossroads.
Yes.
Crossroads is more like you need to pay your rent, so you have to get rid of like the newest shoes you
and
have.
And Wasteland right. is more curated.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And Wasteland's more like you're some sort of a nepo baby trust fund kid and you've been cut off, so you have to start slowly selling your Prada shit.
That's why I know.
You're right. Yeah, and also at Wasteland, you actually have a better chance at getting some good things for yourself to buy. At Crossroads, the really good shit that comes in is clearly nabbed by the employees
yes.
and never makes it to the rack.
Yes, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I remember going there with a bag of clothes and I'm like, oh, I'm going to make a killing. And they turned down all of it.
Oh,
and
yes.
I was like
so
defending it. I'm like, these are specific skate brands. It's streetwear. Ever heard of streetwear?
Yeah. No. Maybe you ever heard of Gator? He endorsed these.
I know. And then he went to
about
prison
the
murder, for murder.
Listen.
He put a lady in a surfboard.
Keep going
bag.
A little more up.
Oh, okay.
Make a right in a flare.
I very much like that you just brought up Mark Gator Rogowski.
Come on, man.
He lost his mind and killed someone.
Yes.
Guys, I almost killed two people just
for the
now.
Record. Oh, we are going to the cleaners.
Hell
I'll be
yeah.
out in 2 seconds.
We're literally yeah. taking Patton to the cleaners.
And now, remember, keep in mind, I'm going to listen to this podcast later, so whatever you say about me when I'm out of the car,
yeah.
I will hear later.
Get ready.
So add some intrigue for me. I'll be right back.
In the 90s, Patton was such a slut.
Before the door shuts. Oh, man.
We fit it in there.
Oh,
but I just got like 5 restaurant recommendations.
Yeah. I love that that's his instinct to do a street tour.
Yes.
People like it, even though they can't see it. What we're talking about.
You're right.
People like that.
People
what was the
like
muffin?
It.
Muffin can stop me.
Muffin can stop us.
Oh, God.
Which also isn't. Not to argue, because it's a great name, although if you actually look at it, you're saying it can stop you. Maybe that is good, because you're like, muffin, nothing can stop us except for a muffin.
Yes, and by stop us, it means pull over and get one.
Come and stop and get us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the best. Look at those fun prints. Those are fun shirts.
True professional.
Yeah, we want a clean take here. Yeah. Otherwise, we got to do the whole goddamn thing again. Go back in your house. We'll pull up.
Go back to Mulholland.
Boy.
Hey, have Chris, Karen, have either of you, together or alone, played Vegas?
No. Haven't for a long time, but...
But you played it?
Yes. Just opening for people. I've never had my own private showcase. I haven't done Brad Garrett's yet.
I did way back in the day. I did the Riviera when it was booked by Steve Sciarippa from The Sopranos. He was the booker.
That's right.
Really?
And oh God, and that's the one where you came in Monday morning and you worked Monday through Sunday and you got the little card that would let you into that weird there's that subterranean tunnels with,
Where you eat with the cafeteria staff. Yeah.
It's really bizarre. It's a world, it's a city underneath the hotel that the workers live in.
Well, now I know how many times I've worked there because I many times have eaten down there. I just am not remembering the details of the show, which is probably a bad thing.
The show is, the one thing about Vegas that they will tell you is, you know, just do 15 minutes. We just want them back on the floor. You don't need to do it. Like, just get them out there.
Which I wish they would just tell you that. It's so much less pressure.
Yeah. I also remember that was the Riviera was the first time I came off stage and the manager, Steve Shrippa, just went, ah, fuck these people. They're idiots.
Aww.
Like, because that's how badly I had done. He's just like, ah, fuck them. Don't worry about it.
There, for a little while, these guys that did the Ramada Inn basement show.
What? Where?
There was, it was,
Los Feliz,
on Vermont. It was.
Wait, I know that place. There was a show there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord.
And it was totally haunted there.
Wait a minute, what the fuck was in the basement? Was it a theater or a showcase?
There's a little bar down there.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and these guys had a show suddenly at the Palms Casino.
They had a show suddenly.
They were like, hey, do you want to do our show at the Palms? And I drove to Vegas, and John Reap, the Does That Thing Have a Hemi comic, and I were on this billboard, and I ate it. So they were, it was like NASCAR weekend, and it was an audience of Home Depot jackets, and they were screaming at me to get off stage. Like, I was eating it so hard. And John, who I didn't know that well, came out and said, this is my friend, and you guys are being rude to him, which just made everything worse.
It was like, your mom came to school and yelled at the bullies. Oh, God, now you're dead.
Yeah, it was. I have never. And it was hosted by a Playboy bunny.
Sure.
Was the most. That's what I blocked out. I only remember eating with the staff in the underground.
Yep.
I remember why I took it out of my memory.
Yeah.
Well, everyone I know that ever attempted to play Vegas, almost everyone got fired like a day or two in. That was always the story. People would be coming back like, yeah, they fired me.
Yeah, they sent me home.
They sent me home.
I made it through the whole week, which I wish I hadn't, because after a while, because you're in the casino, there's no windows, there's no clocks. You lose that circadian rhythm, and you're just, and there's nothing to do after what you think, oh, there's gonna be, but there's actually not that much to do because you're doing a show at night. There's no bookstores, there's no movie theaters here, but they don't want you do, they want people in the casino. So you're like, I don't have anything to do. And you start to go crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm down in that subterranean cafeteria at 5 o'clock having a bowl of Fruit Loops and some ravioli. I don't know.
Like, together.
What happens if I do this?
Yeah.
It's dinner breakfast.
It's breakfast.
Yeah. And I don't gamble, so I really, I guess I'll smoke a pack of cigarettes in this elevator.
Blaine Kovach told me that he did the Maxim Casino one time, and he went up and he did really well. And he came off, and the club owner was just glaring at him like murder. And Blaine was like, oh, I bet I cursed or said something he's not happy about. And then the guy just comes up to him and he goes, this is a hard shoe gig. Like, Blaine was wearing sneakers.
He wasn't wearing
a hard shoe gig.
Have you guys ever heard the phrase hard shoe?
No.
It's all that old school, like, those are your show clothes? The stuff you're wearing in the street, you just wear it, but that's your show clothes? Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, jeez. Like, the guys that hang around backstage with no pants on because they want to keep the crease to the last second.
Oh, that's
one when you see, like,
funny
pictures of Jerry Lewis and Don Rickles, even at the end of their career, like, when they're backstage, they have the full dress shirt on and the jacket and no pants because when they came up, you put your pants on at the last possible second. So you went up with a really sharp crease.
I mean,
isn't that weird?
It's hilarious, but it's also like saying, I insist that it's 70 years ago and you have to be where I am, where it's like, excuse me, sir, hard shoes aren't a thing anymore.
Yeah. A, I didn't even know what that phrase meant.
Yeah.
You just threw me. Your insult threw me because I didn't know. Well, what was that? Oh, my God. You had that great joke, Karen, about your dad saying, like, you're funny, Karen, but you're no Bob Hope.
You're no Bob Hope.
And you go, what is it? I don't know what to say to that because I don't know who he is. So why don't you sit down before you fall down?
The military promoter?
so insane.
Oh, God, that just made me laugh. I remember the first time I heard you say that, I'm like, oh, my God, that's so perfect.
You know what's really funny? I think recently I watched an episode of either Cheers or some 80s sitcom, mm-hmm. and I saw a person say, sit down before you fall down. I was like, oh, no, I stole that.
Oh, no.
Yep. It was like an old sitcom where I was like, that's why that was in my brain.
Oh, wow.
It's,
wow.
You know what? Enough time has passed. It's yours. I'm giving it to you.
Yeah. Also, it was in the air.
That was that's that thing, like, you know, Rosie O'Donnell tells that story of that her first set and she killed. It was all Jerry Seinfeld's material that she had just seen on TV. And she thought that's how you did stand up is you just do jokes.
You, like, go up and you tell those jokes.
You just tell jokes, you know.
Here's some jokes I like.
Yeah.
You guys might like this one, because I know I do.
Apparently all the comics in the back were like horrified, and like, what are you doing? And she's like, what?
I annihilated. I was watching, there's an old Warren Beatty film called Mickey One that he made in the early 60s with Arthur Penn, and he plays a stand-up comedian who's on the run from the mob. Mm. But this is early 60s. And so there's a scene where he's hiding out in like like the lower part of showbiz. Like he's hanging out in a strip club. So the strip club comedian goes up, who's like this old baggy pants style comedian. And Warren is drunk and he starts heckling him. And the guy starts using heckler comebacks on him. Uh-huh. But Warren knows them all. And at one point the guy goes, and then, again, this is a movie made in the early 60s. And the character in the scene is someone who's been doing comedy since like the 40s. That's what this is, you know, they're making fun of. And he goes, I don't come to where you work. And then Warren goes, and jiggle the mop handle. But you're like, that's how old that fucking insult is.
Wow.
Because that was everywhere in the 80s. I don't come to where you work and mess with the Slurpee machine.
Yeah,
just been, it's almost like comedian lore that's been passed down.
Right.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
And there's still comics that will do that. I'll come to your work and dot, dot, dot.
Wow. Well, and when you're desperate, I mean, I remember having to do colleges and freaking out because I had an LA 30 and a college 5, essentially.
Yes! Yes!
One of the worst feelings in the world where you're like, I actually don't have material. This is all personality-based. Mm-hmm. Who gives a shit?
It's all inside joke shit, too.
Yes.
And about the industry.
Yes! And stuff that, like, no one actually cares about in the real world.
Yes.
And having those, like, realizations on stage. And I remember before I left, Karen Anderson goes, you can do any of my material. And I absolutely went into her act. I was like,
help me, Karen.
Seriously, I was drowning. And it just, like, I'm sure I did something of Blaine's, too. Because Blaine has those jokes, like, hard jokes that stick in your mind. Where you're just like, that was Blaine's. I'm just losing my mind
just
now.
Just survivaling. Yeah. Survivaling.
He does this stuff now on stage where he'll stop and rattle off his sponsors for
I love best.
Brought to you by Swiffer. When you don't feel like cleaning, don't really clean.
Brought to you by Axe Body Spray. Ed Hardy for the blind. I heard him do that and I kind of started crying because I'm like, that's the best joke ever. I'll never write a joke.
It's been
like
sitting
that.
There for I was talking we went I'm on a thread with him and a bunch of other comedians, and we were talking about, for some reason, you know, you've gone in those weird rabbit holes about people, famous people, and he went down a Peter Wolf rabbit hole. So right there. But he was on his Wikipedia, and Peter Wolf, lead singer of the J. Gals band, was married to Faye Dunaway for 3 years.
No.
In the early 70s. And I said, you know, Peter Wolf and Amy Mann used to be boyfriend, girlfriend way back in the day. And then Blaine just texts me back, did they break up because of all the Wolfman jokes?
Wolfman.
That would have been their portmanteau.
That's right. Or their child's hyphenate.
Oh, God. So they got to name him Harry.
Harry Wolfman. I love those kind of people that are just like, let's give our child a joke name.
Yes.
And to entertain ourselves.
Yeah. Well, that was like, his name now is C.Q. Jones. He's a director, but he's David Bowie's son.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
And he was, when he was growing up, he was Zoe Bowie.
Oh, right.
And then he was like, C.Q., Dad, we're done with this. I, I'm glad that you lived on cocaine and milk and jalapeno peppers all through the 70s.
Red peppers.
Red peppers. Yes, oh. That's all he
Wait,
ate.
Wait, really?
Yes.
Yes, he had this weird diet. He would just drink milk, snort coke, and eat red peppers for like years.
For years.
For years. Yeah.
But then he was started hallucinating. There's that really good story where, like, he saw something in the bottom. There was an indoor pool in some mansion they had in L.A. Do you know that story?
No.
And he hallucinated this thing where basically the devil was coming up out of the pool. And somebody's like, hey, we got to get you off the coke, off the peppers.
Yeah, you know that's the peppers, too. Yeah. It's the devil.
Yeah, we got to get you a steak. A steak and some mashed potatoes, stat.
Got to take it easy.
Holy shit.
Yeah, have you guys seen the Bowie documentary?
No, my daughter has demanded I wait till she gets back from camp because she's obsessed with Bowie. We got to watch it together.
Oh, nice. She's at camp
she's at camp right now.
Is it
out in Vermont? She just
That's
running
great.
Around in the woods.
That's where I wanted it to be.
Nice. That's like dream camp.
Yeah, I know. She's very, very happy.
Good.
That's great.
And I just did I have a new trade paperback that's coming out July 12th, listeners.
Yes.
If you want to go to your called Minor Threats, first four issues of my comic Minor Threats.
I mentioned that because on the way to Karen's, I listened to Minor Threat.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, unrelated.
But we had a big release party out at in Eagle Rock at a place called Revenge Of. So we did a signing, we had barbecue, we had a couple comedians, and we had a band play. And the band that I got to play was Bleached, which is my daughter's favorite.
Oh, they're
band.
Great.
So
I
she
like
got
them.
To like meet them backstage and then watch their sound check. And she was just like, she was so, I'm just so happy that she's into really, really cool music. And that music leads her forward into people like Lana Del Rey. But then also, like, if they mention, say, what is this line? I listen to Sabbath. You know that it's real. She goes, oh, that's a band called Black Sabbath. And then I'll play her Paranoid. Now she loves Black Sabbath.
Oh, that's great. I went to a Bleach show. The sisters, right? Aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Clavin sisters.
It was an all-ages show, and I couldn't believe how many cool parents brought their cool kids with little earmuffs on. And it was the best show. I knew nothing about that band.
They do the best songs about growing up and being a little punk in the valley and and being, and you know, and we were backstage and here's how your kids get away from you in great ways. So Jennifer was saying, yeah, we were just touring and we were supposed to open for Bikini Kill at the Greek, and the day of my sister Jessica got COVID and we couldn't do it. And my daughter's like, you didn't get to open for Bikini Kill? And I go, do you know who Bikini Kill is? She goes, yeah, Kathleen Hanna. And when we drove home, she plugged her phone into the thing and played me all the Bikini Kill songs she loves.
Oh,
I didn't know she was into Bikini. I'm so happy.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
A surprise.
Yeah.
And also it's so cool to me because it's like whatever it is now, fourth wave feminism or whatever.
Yep.
Where it's cool to be into those bands, which were like, you had to, in the 90s, know cool people to find out about those
bands.
Yes,
exactly.
And now it's kind of like somebody is on the circuit going, listen to this, do this.
Yeah.
Pay attention to this.
Don't miss this. It's
the best.
You're going to love it.
Yeah.
That's so...
That was... delightful.
That was perfection.
You are out of the gates. You were hilarious. you had the instincts to do a street tour of Ventura Boulevard.
Yes.
We got something done for you.
I can't believe you live 2 minutes from me. Karen, let's go get coffee soon.
Yes, please.
God damn it.
Yes,
I can't imagine how busy you are because I know that you're running an empire, but
slight.
If you can talk to your assistant, have her pick open an hour, and we'll get some caffeine.
That would be great. Let's go to Jones on 3rd.
Yes.
Okay.
You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride?
D-Y-N-A-R.
This has been an Exactly Right production.
Produced by Annalise Nelson.
Mixed by Edson Choi.
Our talent booker is Patrick Kottner.
Theme song by Karen Kilgariff.
Artwork by Chris Fairbanks. Follow the show on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Dynar Podcast. That's D-Y-N-A-R Podcast.
For more information, go to exactlyrightmedia.com.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Follow Do You Need a Ride on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen so you never miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, rate and review the show.
And visit the exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Do You Need a Ride merch.